Okay, would you turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 19? Exodus 19. And we will start. All to my shame, I attended church with the wrong motives when I was a kid in Seoul, South Korea. The reason why I went to that particular church, I was about 6, 7 years old. They were handing out the cupcake at the end of the service. Nothing more, nothing else. I went there for cupcakes. In other words, I had no concept of a true reason for attending church service like many adult in America. Some go to the church because it's a religious thing to do on Sunday morning. Or some go to church because their wives give that look. Guys, you know that look, right? So the wives give that look, so you get, okay, we'll go to church. Or some go to church because they are in tight corner and they are in neck deep trouble. So they're thinking, you know, if I go to church, maybe God will looking at me with a brownie point in his heart. Really? However, I'm glad that many people still come to church to hear from him and to worship him. That's the right attitude. This morning, we are not only going to learn from the Lord what kinds of mindset we should have before attending our Sunday morning services and the midweek Bible studies, but also we are going to how we should prepare ourselves in our own personal encounter with God Almighty. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness in Christ Jesus, and we cry out to you. And we praise you, you know, because you are one great, mighty God, yet so loving, so gentle toward us. While we are in the muck and mire, while we are living in sin, you extend your mercy toward us in grace. And you scooped so low to pick us up from the bottom. You set us on the solid rock that is higher than all. Father, we thank you. We praise your holy name. Father, we pray that you speak to us. Anoint our heart that we may have wisdom to understand what you stored for us. We don't want to hear what man has to say, but only what you say. And Father, we also pray that you anoint the one who speak, that he may not say the things that he has in mind. Father, we pray for this COVID to be removed from the earth. And Father, we pray for the new administration. Father, we pray that they may turn to you and be obedient to you in whatever it takes for them to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, now we pray for our troops, especially the one in the harm's way. You bring them back to their families and friends, safe and sound. Father, we also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, verse 1, please. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and came to the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. As the Lord told Moses from the beginning, that Moses and the Israeli people would come to worship at the mountain of God, also known as Mount Sinai. They studied there, and they stayed there for 11 long months. And let's continue verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and all the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptian, and how I bore you on the eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me the kingdom of priests and holy nation." These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Let me ask you a question. This is a good time for you to answer me back. You're welcome to. Why God chose Israel over all the other nations? Come on, speak up. Anyone? Let me ask you this then. Is it because the Israeli people are really smart and they are just good-looking people, GQ people? Huh? No? They are nobody. They are not important people. They are no different people. But God chose them and bring because he made the covenant with Abraham and through Abraham who would bring the Jesus as the Messiah. He could bring them out from my hometown, Sweden. But he chose not to. They are supposed to be the royal priesthood. They are supposed to be the kingdom of priests and the holy nation as we read in verse 6. They are supposed to be treasure to God. Did they become treasure to God? No. Some say that mama eagle does not carry their young ones on the wings. You know, I did some research on the internet. I could not find them. Some said, well, mama eagle would flutter wings and push the little eaglet to the edge and let them go drop. And as that little thing, trying to flutter the wings and trying to survive, and it's about to hit the rock, and mama scooped down and put it on the wings and come up to the, back to the nest. And continues does it until they know how to fly. I cannot really find that as true. At the same, some people say, some people don't. But in my opinion, this is more the poetic way of describing things. God brought the Israeli people from Egypt when there was a 10 plague, destroyed the whole nation, and God brought them out, Israelis from Egypt, and safely, and they carried them through in the wilderness for 3 months. And he provided everything they needed. The Lord originally wanted Israelite to be the special treasure to him. He wanted them to be the holy nation and the people set apart from the world and for his purpose. As God's people, we, born again Christian believers, must be set apart, thinking and acting differently than the others around us. Unfortunately, Israelites did not follow the Lord and didn't fulfill their destiny the Lord wanted for them to have. When you hang around with a bunch of unbelievers, can those unbelievers tell the difference between you and them? Or do they just know you as an obnoxious Christian who pretending to be a Christian, but you are not doing whatever they do? Does your talk and your action, do they go together? As we will find out, talk is cheap. Let's continue verse 7. So the Moses came and called for the elders of the Israel and laid before them all these words which the Lord had commanded them. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Right. Moses brought back the word of the people to the Lord. Stop there, please. As I said, talk is cheap, isn't it? We can promise anything, but fulfilling is not the same story. The Israelite might have been sincere at that moment, but the Lord knew their heart was prone to wander and prone to sin, and prone to do evil. It wouldn't be long before they got into massive idolatry. We'll find out in a couple of chapters. Just like these Israelites who promised to the Lord that they would follow him way too quickly, I found that many people quickly promised to God and that they would do whatever the Lord wanted. In a short while, they break the promise and then I ask them, what happened? And they would come up with this wide range of the flimsy excuses. From the devil made me do it. Right. Let me stop there for a minute. And let me ask you this. Is it true devil can make you do something bad? Yes, no. Come on, devil is a strong form of angel, isn't it? He can twist your arm to make you to do something, right? Yes. You have a choice. I have a choice. He can tempt us, but he cannot make us to do bad things. We choose to do bad things. Are you with me? Man up, woman up, and make a decision. Take it to your heart. We have to own up to our own sin. You know, people come up with excuses and they said, well, I could not help. There were incidents, you know, one occasion. There was one guy, former congregation. He was an alcoholic. He just cannot stay away from beer. So I told him to call me on the way home because that's what he usually stop at the 7-Eleven, grab a 12 packs or whatever, and drink all that in one sitting, 12 packs in one sitting. On top of all, he has a stage 4 cancer. Wouldn't you have to be a little bit more careful if you have a stage 4 cancer? Maybe he has a death wish. And I asked him to call me when you're about to pass by that 7-Eleven. We will pray. Okay? He said, sure. He called me a couple of times and stopped calling me. And then one day he called me and he said, hi, Pastor, I'm calling you. Really? He makes his own choice. I had to stop doing that with him because he didn't want to be helped. You know, God is not, listen, please. God is not interested in our lip service. He knows our heart. You cannot pull wool over his eyes. But our action, that brings a result. You agree? Let's continue in verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, and people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. Let them be ready for the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down from Mount Sinai in the sight of all people. You shall set a bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourself. You do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touched the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him. And he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. But the trumpet, when the trumpet sound long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctify the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Stop there, please. We today are accustomed to having a soap and shower and water readily available and have extra clothes hanging in our closet. But the people in the Bible days, they did not have that kind of luxury. So, they couldn't take a shower daily, and only the wealthy people had the extra garments. Same thing with the steel in the third world country. There's no such a thing as taking a shower every day, unless you are extremely rich. That's why bathing and clothing and changing the clothes often marked in the new beginning in the Bible. If there is anything basic to human nature, it is that we need a boundary. What do you mean boundary? We have to be told what to do, what not to do. We have to know. Otherwise, we'll continuously do the things that goes against the word of God. God showed Israel that obedience is more important than what they say and what they want. I don't doubt that there are some cocky Israelites and say, there is a boundary. Oh yeah? What are you going to do about it? Zap! Somebody had to stone him, or somebody had to shoot him with an arrow. They cannot punch that guy. Why is it so necessary? I'm glad you asked that question. Because of his presence, the place has become holy. And God's holiness would expose the sins of the people. Out of protection for his people, God made sure that the Moses and his people realize why these boundaries should not be violated. Am I making sense? Yes, no. God didn't put the boundary because he just wants to be difficult. He put the boundary so that he can protect those sinful people. And we would be no different. Verse 15 does not say there is any particular uncleanness in sexual relations between the husband and wife. But in this situation, the Lord wants them to demonstrate their desire for purity by putting on clean clothes and restraining their fleshly desires. Let's continue verse 16. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings, and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of a trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to them to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now the Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like a smoke of the furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became loud and light, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain. Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord. Many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord breaks out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, get this, guys. People cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying that set the bound around the mountain and consecrate it. Verse 24, then the Lord said to Moses, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you, and do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he breaks out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Stop, please. Moses led the people right up to the barrier at Mount Sinai, very foot of the mountain, and where they could see and smell and hear the consuming fire. And you may say, how can you hear the fire? You do. When it's enraging fire, you can hear fire burning, not only smell. It was engulfing the mountain, as well as the earth was shaking under their feet, and as the whole mountain was quaking greatly. Can you imagine how the Israelites felt in the presence of God at the foot of the mountain, Mount Sinai? It would be more than standing right in front of a live volcano minus lava running down their feet. In verse 20, the Lord came down. It is hard to describe and imagine his awesome condescending presence. In the Bible, there are three places that the Lord is describing the presence of the Lord coming down to the people. Here's the one. This is the first one. Second one is, do you remember that the Holy Spirit coming down in the shape of dove to Jesus, and after he was coming out from the water of the Jordan River? After he got baptized by John the Baptizer. And the last one is the Lord coming down on the white horse. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ coming down with his saint. On his thigh, there's a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In case you think that God does not like country music, you might want to change your mind because he's a riding cowboy. Okay? I don't know if you have noticed that this is the third time Moses went up to the top of the Mount Sinai. You know, could God speak to the people directly? Yes, he could. But he was telling Moses to go up and down. It's, you know, Mount Sinai is not like a little hill in Sarita and Green Valley, we don't have a mountain. Do you know that? We have hills. In Arizona, most of the time, we don't have mountains. We have hills. The mountain is like Mount Everest, more Mount Rocky. That's a mountain. But at least he's about 80 some years old. He was going up and down the mountains for a third time. And I'm sure that Moses got cranky and said, well, you mean I have to go down? And he said, God didn't put up with that kind of crankiness. He got straightened him out quickly with one word, away. Guys, do we do that? When God tells us to do something and we come up with an excuse, does he take our excuse? No, he doesn't. God has his way. He's going to get it done no matter what you do, whether you agree or not. It's good for us. It's good for the rebellious people not to have the mountain burning with God's presence. Bunch of people would try to challenge him by approaching the mountain. Listen, glory, holiness, and greatness of the Lord is not something that can be subject to the scientific experiment or to satisfy mere curiosity with misguided courage. Am I making sense? Please don't think that eyewitnessing the awesome mighty presence of the Lord would set the 2 million people, Israel, 2 million Israelites straight and holy for the rest of their lives. Not 40 days from this, the whole nation would be practicing orgy around the golden calf and worshiping it as their God, little G God. It is one thing to be in the awesome presence of the Lord, but it is a completely different thing to be submissive to his will. That is every Christian's responsibility. Then this Israelite was a great example of it. Wouldn't that be great once we got saved, become holy and righteous, we would never sin? That would be heaven on earth, right? Any of you guys never sin? If you never sin, you should be here, stand behind the pulpit and teach. I would love to listen to you how you do it. First John said, if anyone said that he does not have a sin, he is what? Liar. You do sin, I do sin by our own choice. And how do we minimize sins? Stay close to him. Sanctify ourselves, set apart from the worldly things and worldly desires. Amen. I found this portion from one of the commentaries that I have. And then I found the same thing, exact same thing from somewhere else. In other words, they were copying each other's commentary. It doesn't matter. It's all from God. Here it is. Under the new covenant through the Jesus, we came to a different mountain that is that our salvation and relationship with God is centered at Mount Zion, not Mount Sinai. Would you go to Hebrews chapter 12, please? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Hebrews is way in the back before the book of James, verse 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and burned with the fire, to the blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of word, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as the beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. And you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God and the judge of all, to the priest of just man made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkle that speaks better than that of the Abel. I find, here's a comparison that made by this commentator. I like it. Sinai speak the fear and the terror, and Mount Zion speak of the love and forgiveness. Sinai is a great desert. a dry desert. And Zion is the city of the living God. Sinai is all the, it's the fear and power and is earthly. And Mount Zion, we came to it, is the heavenly and the spiritual. At Sinai, only Moses could come and meet God. At Zion, there is a general assembly. Sinai had a guilty man in fear, but Zion had a guilty man made perfect and just. Amen to that, right? At Sinai, Moses was the mediator, but at Zion, Jesus is the mediator. Sinai put forth the old covenant and ratified the blood by the blood of the animals. Zion has a new covenant ratified by the blood of God's precious son, Jesus. Sinai was all about the barrier and exclusion. Zion is all about invitation. Sinai is all about the law. Zion is all about grace. We shouldn't come to Zion as if we were coming to Sinai. We must put away our hesitation and get bold in coming to the Lord. According to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, if we pray according to His will, we have this confidence that He will do what we ask for. Do you understand that? We pray according to His will. We know that we have this confidence. We know that it will be done. What if we prayed for the things that is not in His will? Do you want it? Let me ask you to answer me. Do you want that? If it's not in God's will, you will be miserable. I guarantee you that. Because I asked for one, and I got, and I was miserable. If it's not in God's will, you don't want it. One more thing. Don't think that the Israelites who witnessed the presence of God at Mount Sinai, they are more blessed than we are. I disagree. Wholeheartedly disagree. And I have two reasons for it. Number one, they had to stand far away at the foot of the mountain while the Lord was on the top of the mountain. To us, we can go right into the throne room of God with the confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ who intercede for us from the right hand of the Father. On top of all, it's like an informational thing. It's not just you get one, you get two. Buy one, get another one free, right? You don't even have to buy anything in this case. You just receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He interceded for you from the right side, right hand of the Father. And the Holy Spirit come into your heart. The very presence of God is in your heart. And He's praying for you. Second reason why I think we are in a better situation than they are. The Lord spoke to them through Moses. For us, He speaks to us directly through His own voice, this book, the Word of God. There are much for us to learn at Mount Sinai, no matter what. We learn of God's holy requirement and what we have to do before we can come to Him in our daily lives. Here are four applications that I have for you. We must receive God's Word daily as our guidance. I said daily, not once in a blue moon thing. You know, there are some people who actually do this kind of thing. When they're in trouble, okay. And they try to find the verse. If they don't like it, oh, they'll go for another one. Another one. This is not a crystal ball, guys. God doesn't speak that way. Number two. And you may ask, can He do it? God is God. He can do whatever He wants. He doesn't need my approval. But normally, God doesn't speak that way to you. Number two, we must be sanctified from the worldly things. What does it mean, sanctified, set apart? Your life should be different than unbelievers' lives. Number three, we must be cleansed by His forgiveness through our prayers. If there is anything that is not right with God, make a short account with Him. You pray to the Lord and confess your sin, be right with Him. Don't think that God will wink at my little sin. Okay? You with me? There's no such a thing as little sin that God will wink at. Little sin become big sin. Fourth application, we must come to God on his term, not ours. Can you say that with me? We must come to God on his term, not ours. His way, not our way. Amen? Okay, let's stand up and